There's a part in John chapter 5 where Jesus speaks to all of these religious leaders and people, and he says, you know what? You spend so much time scouring the scriptures, trying to justify yourselves. You're trying so hard to find your way, but Jesus goes, but the thing that you're missing is right now I'm standing in front of you and the entire scriptures point towards me. And they actually get really mad that Jesus says this. I like the way Eugene Peterson writes it in the Message version. He stands there and he says, you try so hard, but you've missed the forest for the trees. I'm right here in front of you and yet you can't see it. And what we're looking at in this quarter in the Gospel of John is this fact that Jesus makes an astounding claim, and this is it. I am co-equal with God. Jesus' claim is, I am co-equal with God. And this, you know, is unsettling for so many people in the setting that Jesus delivered it in. Because he takes all of these characteristics that Israel has held true to about God, Jehovah, the Creator, the God who set Israel apart and leads Israel. And Jesus just time and again takes that characteristic or that name of God and applies it to himself, takes ownership of that name himself. What we've already looked at the first week that I shared was what John says in the beginning, that the Word that was with God, that is God, that everything was created through, that Word, that revelation and proclamation of God in Jesus took on flesh and became man, dwelt amongst us. And this is what John writes about Jesus, that God took flesh on and dwelt amongst us. Jesus makes a claim, and Ryan shared this with us 2 weeks ago. He stands in front of the people and says, I am the bread of life. And that really upset him because back in Exodus, when God was preparing a nation for himself, he says, I'll be your provider. And he provides food through manna. And the people lay claim to this and say, you know, God provided bread for us to live. And Jesus goes, yep, and I'm the living bread. I am the source of life. He went on to say, I am the light of the world. And this I am statement, I am the light, was taking that authority that God had when in the beginning he said, let there be light. And it said that light would come into the world and that all darkness would flee. And Jesus stands there and goes, yep, and I am that light. And what we're going to look at today is this statement that Jesus makes in John 10, and we'll read it in the next couple of weeks. But Jesus says this, I am the good shepherd. I am the good shepherd. Now, Jesus is not, you know, just making a, you know, statement about his employment or his pastime or anything else here. He's not talking about a trade. He is making a statement here that his whole audience understood. And I'm going to go through this name that Jesus is claiming. If you open up your Bibles, go to John chapter 10, and I'm going to begin in verse 11. Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. I want to jump on to verse 14. Again, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me. Jesus says that, he said another thing that will really sort of lay the road ahead for him, because he says, I know the Father and I lay down my life for the sheep. He says another unsettling thing. I have sheep that are not of this sheep pen. Other sheep, but I must bring them in also. This is unsettling because the Jews at this time know the children of Abraham, the delivered children through Moses, established as a nation that God would declare himself in, and had come to a place that they're just going, we're the elect and there's none other. And Jesus comes and goes, actually, there's quite a few others. And they're not of this fold, or they're not of this nation, or they're not of this inheritance. But he says, he goes on there to say, but they too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. And the reason my Father loves me is that I lay my life down, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. And this command I have received from my Father. Jesus, the good shepherd, who says, I will lay my life down for my sheep, and I will collect all my sheep, and there'll be one flock under one shepherd. And, you know, people could have just said, like they follow on and say, man, this guy's just mad. This guy's just demon-possessed. This guy's just out on his own limb doing his own thing. But Jesus was not just talking about this physical gathering of people. There were lots of people, as I said a few weeks ago, that rose up as good teachers. It happened all the time culturally. People would get a new angle on a scripture and begin to gather the people around that angle. Jesus is not just standing up going, hey, just follow after me. Let me care for you. And this is what is so important to understand. This is why they are so angry. He is claiming that he is the Lord, the shepherd of Israel, Jehovah Ra'ah. This is a Hebrew name which Jesus would have used when he's speaking in Hebrew. When he says, I am the shepherd, I am the good shepherd, he stands there literally and says, the I am is the Ra'ah of Israel. And this is why they want to kill him, and this is why they accuse him of blasphemy. This word and this understanding of the Lord as my shepherd was so well known in this day, and in fact, it's probably the best known psalm today. Most funerals I go to, people want read the 23rd psalm. When you go to funeral homes, there will always be somewhere a little plaque or a picture on the wall, and it's the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want, or I shall not lack any good thing. It is He, the Lord my shepherd, who makes me lie down in green pastures. It is He, the Lord my shepherd, who leads me beside still waters. It is He, the Lord my shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah, who refreshes my soul. It is He who guides me along the right paths, or the paths of righteousness, for His own name's sake. And even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, or even though I walk through the darkest of places, I fear no evil, for you, the Lord, my shepherd, Jehovah Ra'ah, art with me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. And you, Jehovah Ra'ah, Lord, my shepherd, prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies. And you anoint my head with oil, and my cup overflows. And surely your goodness, the Lord my shepherd, and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord my shepherd forever. And Jesus stands up in this audience that is so familiar with this passage of intimacy and hope and says, I am the good shepherd. Do you see why they just rise up and go, this guy's insane? But the religious leaders rise up and go, more than that, he is a blasphemer. It is a profound truth that Jesus is declaring here, and it's not just the idea of the shepherd. Now, when you, like Daniel was talking about last week, when you look up Jesus, Light of the World, you on Google, you'll find these pictures of lighthouses. You know, you search, you know, Jesus the shepherd or the Lord is my shepherd, and they're always these sort of, you know, quaint little pictures of, you know, this sort of shiny guy tending a cute little lamb and, you know, holding this little lamb in his arms. But it's so much bigger than that. So much bigger than that. And this morning, I want you to get what Jesus is actually saying and what Jesus is offering you still today, still in this place. When Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, he takes upon himself all of these contexts of that word ra'ah that are distributed through the Old Testament in reference to God. And I'm going to take you through five of them. The Lord is my shepherd is also the Lord my deliverer. That word ra'ah is also translated to this word deliverer. In Micah chapter 5, again, a passage that the Jewish people held so dear to themselves, the prophet Micah speaks this, but you, Bethlehem, though you are small amongst the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel. His origins are from old, from ancient times, and he will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord and in the majesty of the name of the Lord. And the people, will live securely. For then his greatness will reach to the ends of the earth, and he will be our peace. When our enemies come against us is the rest of the context of that. But this one that would come out of Bethlehem, that they were expecting, that they were looking for, would stand and be the shepherd of the people of Israel and would be their peace, who would deliver them from the hand of the enemy. And this was the expectation of the Messiah, that he would first come and change the ruling party of the land, that he would geopolitically deliver his people. But Jesus comes and basically says, that's coming later. Right now, I'm going to deliver you from yourselves, and I'm going to deliver you from darkness, and I'm going to deliver you from that kingdom of self into a kingdom of righteousness, and I will become the carer, the shepherd, the deliverer of those who come unto me. And so often we want that physical deliverance from our circumstances before we do a heart surrender. And Jesus comes and goes, I'm the shepherd and I'll tend my flock. But it begins with deliverance. You're expecting a geopolitical deliverer? Well, I'm here to deliver you from sin. God, the shepherd, was always expected as the deliverer. And so Jesus comes and he says, I am the good shepherd. I am that deliverer. This morning, do you need deliverance? Do you need to be set free? Are you ruled by anything? Are you owned by anything? Is there sin, hidden things that just hold your life fast, that you know you're not free? Areas that aren't surrendered to the authority of Christ? Jesus comes and he goes, I want to be your shepherd. I want to be your deliverer. I want to be the one that allows you to walk in freedom. The reason this is so important, as I was preparing this, I was taken back to the first verse we memorized last year. First verse we memorized became an anchor for me throughout the whole year, and it leads into this year. Psalm 9, verse 10. Those who know your name will trust in you. For you, Lord, have never forsaken those who seek you. You've never abandoned. And this is what Jesus says when he comes and he says, I am the good shepherd. I am your deliverer. That word, the Lord is my shepherd, is also the Lord is my restorer. Psalm 80, which was another very well-known song amongst the Jewish people, is this incredible cry for God's restoration and mercy on them as a people. Listen to the words of it. Beginning in Psalm 80, verse 1. Hear us, O Shepherd of Israel. That's this reminder name that they cry out to God with in this psalm. Hear us, O Shepherd of Israel, you who lead your people like a flock, you whose throne is in that holy of holies. Verse 2, awaken your might and come and save us. Who? Shepherd of Israel. Verse 4, how long, Lord Almighty, will your anger smolder against the prayers of your people? Verse 7, restore us, God Almighty, make your face shine on us that we might be saved. It was you who brought us up from Egypt, and you drove out nations and you planted us. Verse 14, but return to us, God Almighty, look down from heaven and see. Watch over this people, the planting of your right hand, the son that you've raised up for yourself. Verse 17, let your hand rest on the man at your right hand, the son of man that you've raised up. Then we won't turn away from you. Revive us. We call on your name. Restore us, Lord God Almighty. Make your face shine on us that we might be saved. Who are they calling out to? The shepherd of Israel, Jehovah Ra'ah. And Jesus turns up and in John 10 says, that you've been calling out to, expecting a response from, is me. Does this unsettle you at all? These are big claims that Jesus makes. These are huge. These are not Jesus just going, hey, I got some good ideas that might help you live a better life. Jesus is not saying, hey, I got a few more self-help programs that if you indulge yourself in, you might just get better. Jesus comes and he says, I am God revealed to you. I am the shepherd of Israel. I am the one who will deliver. I am the one who will restore. The shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd is also revealed in Ezekiel 34. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Listen to these words. And this is what Israel is holding out for. This is what the sovereign Lord says, I myself will search for my sheep and I will look after them. As a shepherd looks after his scattered flock when he is with them, so I will look after my sheep. I will rescue them from all the places where they're scattered I will bring them out from the nations and gather them from the countries. I will bring them into their land. I will pasture them on the mountains. I will tend them in the good pasture. They will lie in good land and they will feed in rich pasture. But I myself will tend my sheep. And I will have them lie down, declares the sovereign Lord. I will search for the lost, bring back the strays. I will bind up the injured and strengthen the weak. But the sleek and the strong, those who think they have no need of a shepherd, those who have indulged themselves, that's the context of this. He says, I will destroy, or I will let be destroyed. I will shepherd the flock with justice. Jesus, the shepherd of Israel, the shepherd of his people, the shepherd of all who will come to him. The Lord is my shepherd is also the Lord is my carer. Psalm 23, David wrote, I lack nothing. It's he who leads me. It's he who gives me rest. It's he who provides for me. It's he who prepares a table before me. It's he, the Lord, my shepherd, my carer. And there are masses of verses throughout the Bible that talk about God as the carer, the one who feeds, the one who tends, the one who provides. But as sheep, our needs are not always that we just be fed, stroked, and gently tended. The reality is sheep need a trip every now and then to the shearing shed. There are seasons that sheep go through that they need correction and shaping. It's very interesting to me when I look at this whole idea of sheep that so often we just want to be tended to. We just want the still waters, the green pastures, the goodness and the mercy. But the care is also in the midst of the valley of the shadow of death, the dark places, the threatening places. But the carer is also the one who knows our every need. There's a story, and I'm going to share a picture with you in a minute. There's a story of a sheep from the South Island in New Zealand. He gained international fame in 2004 and was given the name Shrek the Sheep, owing to his gigantic coat of fleece. Shrek became famous after escaping his enclosure and evading the shearers for 6 years by hiding in caves and ravines. Usually they're shorn annually, but Shrek managed to escape the blade for these 6 years straight, and when he was finally caught, the sheep was unrecognizable and in poor health. Shrek the sheep. If you look at the next picture here, for 6 years, he runs away and hides, evading the shearer's shed. Now, I don't know if sheep think, but somewhere this little guy gets in his head, I don't want that shaping. I don't want that shearing. I'm going to run away and keep what I've got. And next year, I'm going to run away and keep what I've got. And next year, you're not taking anything from me. I'm going to run away and keep what I've got. And when he was found, he was virtually unrecognizable and in ridiculously bad health because he had grown a fleece weighing 27 kilograms. And when they shaved him, this was Shrek underneath. He was carrying this stuff that somehow this poor little sheep felt mattered to him. And I wonder how much we're like sheep. we hear the shepherd sharpening the shears and we're like, out of here. I'm going for the caves. I'm going for the ravines. I'm going anywhere but the shearer's shed. But the longer we tend ourselves and avoid the caring hand of a good shepherd, we actually get ourselves in sicker and sicker condition. Shrek the sheep. So determined to keep his freedom that it nearly cost him his life. I ask you this morning, are you so intent on keeping your freedom, your own rights, tending to what you perceive are your own needs, that life just actually gets sicker and sicker? It might be time for a trip to the shearing shed. It might be time to let Jesus tend those things that need tending in our lives. But the reality is we can't just be cared for on our own terms. If you go to the beach this weekend, you're going to know that. You can't just be tended to on your own terms. Think of our lifeguards. They set up this zone. It's red and yellow flags. And they say, man, we've determined this is the good part of the beach for you to swim in at the moment. This is where it's safe. These are the good waters. And if you swim in between these flags, we will tend you and we will watch you. But people just kind of go, you know what, forget that. I'm going to go and swim wherever I want to. A study was done, released last year, actually in 2013, in all of Australia. Not one life was lost between the flags. Not one. Credit to all of you who are lifeguards, lifesavers in this place. Thank you for all you do. Not one lost. But outside those flags, close to 100 lives lost. And people go, you know, it's my right. I can go wherever I want to go. We say to the shepherd, it's my right. I'm the sheep. I can go wherever I want to go. And Jesus, the good shepherd, says this, I'll tend you and I will care for you. But I'm the gate. I will be the one who guards you and keeps you, but you go out on your own, I'll come looking for you. But out there, there's wolves. And there are those that get taken. And I've seen people that make all these decisions to live life however the heck they want. And then they go, how come, God, you were not there when I got in trouble? And I feel like he'd go, because you weren't swimming between the flags. Because I set up this and I said, these are the good areas. These are the right places for you. And we just kind of go, forget that. Jesus, the good shepherd, the carer. The Lord is my shepherd. Also translates to the Lord is my companion. Psalm 23, the Lord who never leaves, never forsakes. His company is peace, not only in location, in his presence with us. That word ra'ah is translated companion in many other passages. In Proverbs chapter 13, verse 20, that we also memorized last year. See if anyone still remembers this one. It says that those who walk with the wise become wise, but the companion of fools suffers harm. And that word, ra'ah, Jehovah Ra'ah, is the same word that's translated companion there. The intimate accompanier of, the companion of fools. Those who are intimately acquainted with a fool suffers harm. But God offers himself as Jehovah Ra'ah, the companion to us, the shepherd. And lastly, this one is just so beautiful in this word, Ra'ah. The Lord is my shepherd. Translates to the Lord is my friend. And I'll take you to where this word is used in this context, in Exodus chapter 33. Moses has led the people of Israel out and they're in the desert and it is hard going. The people have wanted to kill him. They've wanted to go back to Egypt where they were. They don't want the struggle. They don't want the shaping. They don't want the tending that Moses is doing. He's lonely. He feels abandoned. He's watched the people turn back to idolatry. He's watched them murmur, complain, and bicker. And he comes to this place that he takes time in this tent or the tent of meeting. And in verse 9 of Exodus 33, it says, as Moses would go into the tent, a pillar of cloud would come down and stay at the entrance, excuse me, while the Lord spoke with Moses. And the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a ra'ah, a friend. And this is that name of God where shepherd is translated as friend. Moses said to the Lord, you've been telling me lead these people, but you haven't told me who's going to go with me. You've said, I know you by name and you have found favor with me. But if you're pleased with me, please teach me your ways. I want to know you. I want to continue to find favor with you and remember that this nation is your people. And the Lord speaks to him as a friend and says, my presence will go with you and I will give you rest. I, your Jehovah Ra'ah, I, the Lord your God, your friend, the Lord your God, your shepherd, your deliverer, your restorer, your carer, your companion, your friend. And this is what God has offered us in that forgiveness in Jesus Christ, where Jesus in John 10 says, I will lay my life down for the sheep. I will lay my life down. No one steals it from me. No one takes it from me. I willingly lay it down. And I'll take it up again. Because my Father's the one that has authority over life and death. God says to Moses, and Moses says to God, you know what? I don't want to go anywhere that your presence doesn't go with us. Don't send us up from here if you won't go. And the Lord said to Moses, listen to these words, I will do everything you've asked because I'm pleased with you and I know you by name. And this is what Israel holds on to of the Lord their God, Jehovah Ra'ah, their shepherd, that he knows us by name. And Jesus in John 10, in verse 3, he says, this shepherd, this good shepherd, calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. This is what God had done for Moses. He said to him, I will lead you out because I know you by name. And Jesus comes and he goes, I'm the good shepherd who will lead you out because I know you by name. That's how much God loves us and pursues us. He knows us by name. He knows everything there is to know about us. And he says to us, I want you to know my voice as I call out to you. I want you to know that I am your deliverer. That I am your restorer. That I am your carer. That I am your companion and I am your friend. Jesus never came to be a self-help guru, never came to be just a good teacher, never came just to be a miracle worker, a do-gooder. He came to call those who would respond to him, that they would leave darkness and come to light. That they would leave their self-preserving, self-serving ways and come and trust the God who knows them and cares about them. The God who would lead in still waters And the God who would lead in green pastures, and the God who would accompany in dark valleys and even the shadow of death, whose goodness and mercy would follow us all the days of our lives. And the choice that we are always faced with is, do we want to submit to the shepherd? For Jesus says, I am that shepherd. And I love the invitation of Jesus, come to me. Respond to me, all of you who are weary, who are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke on you. Learn of me. My yoke's easy. My burden's light. How do you reckon Shrek the sheep felt when 27 kilograms of wool fell off and he stood up? That's what Jesus offers. And he offers to continue to shape us that we might walk in liberty. The incredible thing is that Jesus, that great shepherd, will leave 99 in open pasture to go and find that one. As you've heard me so many times say, God is that relentless pursuer. This morning, I don't know where you're at. Don't know if you want to respond. Don't know if any of those things have sort of rubbed up against you. But Jesus says, come unto me. Wherever you're weary, wherever you're heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Sometimes that rest comes when we're relieved of that extra 27 kilos. Sometimes it's when you stop searching in all these other places to be fulfilled and you just find rest in His provision and of His presence. Craig's going to just sing a song here. It's not really about singing it together. I just want you to listen to the words of it. But if you want someone to just pray with you, I'm not going to pray any of this into being in your life. That's not how it's done. Jesus says, come unto me and I'll give you. You come, He gives. You come with your burdens and He takes them, you lay them down. You come and acknowledge those areas that you're hiding from His shears, hoping that you can avoid them. For some of you, it might have been years. But it's probably time for a trip to the shearing shed. And I'm just going to invite you, if you want someone to just pray with you, that you would truly know that heart of the shepherd, the good shepherd, the deliverer, the restorer, the carer, the companion, the friend. I'm going to ask you to just come and let us pray with you. It's courageous. But if you feel that in any way, come. If people come, I'm going to invite home group leaders, pastors, exec that might be here. Just come and stand with people and just pray with them.